as you take your seats, please turn with me to Luke chapter 18. The 18th chapter of Luke is where we will find our text for this morning. When we look at the life and ministry of Jesus, we realize that oftentimes when he wanted to teach a spiritual principle, he would use parables or stories to convey those spiritual principles. Going through scriptures, looking at the parables, sometimes those spiritual principles that he was teaching were obvious. He would state them. I'm telling you this story so that you will do such and such or know such and such. And then there are times when he told parables where the spiritual principles he was teaching needed to be discerned, that they weren't obvious to the hearer. He was intentional about that when he did that, because when he gave a parable that everybody would not understand, at the end of the parable he would say, "He that has an ear, let him hear," which means everybody heard it, but everybody didn't hear it. Oh yeah, so he'll talk. You know how some families have this secret language where you're in a group of people and there's a conversation going on and you hear the words, but you have no idea what they were talking about. Why? Because you didn't have the ear to hear that conversation. That's why I usually pray before we go over the scripture, and I think I said it this morning. I say, "Lord, give us an ear to hear what you are saying to the church." Because we realize that everybody in the room will hear it, but everybody won't hear it. Hallelujah. We want ears to hear. In Luke chapter 18, we find one of the most popular and most talked about parables that Jesus gave during his ministry. The benefit that we have in this text is that Luke introduces the parable and he gives us the specific reason why Jesus gave us the parable and what the spiritual principle was that he was trying to teach. So we look at verse number 1, Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. Peter writes, "On the day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up." He says, listen, this is the point that Jesus is trying to make. Pray and don't faint. Always pray, never give up. This is the spiritual constitution of a life that has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. People whose lives have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ always pray and never give up. Hear me. A person who prays consistently and persistently never gives up. Listen. I know a lot of people who pray all the time, who go to God with the same request consistently. I have never seen that type of person give up. I have seen them, because of their prayer life, go even to the point of death, and when they died, they died believing. On the flip side, I've seen a lot of people who rarely or barely pray, and they give up constantly. They start doing something, doesn't go the way they think it should go, they give up. They testify, "God has told me to do this. I'm committed to it. I'm excited about it. But it's harder than they thought it would be. It takes longer than they thought it would take." And the next thing you know, you don't see them. You don't hear them. We're like, what happened to all the things that God had told you Told y'all last Sunday, time is the greatest enemy of your faith. Oh yeah, God speaks and it doesn't happen when we think that it should happen and we give up. And Jesus is teaching us the principle on how to deal with delay. Oh, I need to help somebody this morning. You've got to learn how to deal with delay. You know, in prayer, sometimes we can deal good. Well, we love the yes, we ask and we get a yes. We ask and we get a no, and that can be frustrating, but eventually we'll get over it because we'll say, if he said no to that, that means he got something better coming. So we'll celebrate the no because that means something better is coming. But when he says wait or not now, yes, but not now. It's already done, but not yet. When we find ourselves in that situation, Jesus is saying that you should always pray and never give up. Jesus is teaching his disciples that it is important that you pray all the time, no matter what you are facing, no matter what you are dealing with, be consistent in prayer. When things happen, pray about it and keep on moving. Giving up is not an option for the person who is consistent in prayer. Having a conversation with God is all that prayer is about. It's talking to God. It's spending time in the presence of God. That's why when you spend time in the presence of God, it is difficult to spend time in the presence of God and then give up. How do you spend time with the one who has all power in his hands, who can do anything, who is in control of everything, made promises to you, and you have not found him to be a liar? And last week we said that he's not slow concerning his promise, he's patient. How can you spend time with him, leave that conversation and say, I give up, there's nothing that I can do? People don't like you talking about prayer because we always feel guilty about prayer. We feel like we don't pray enough. We feel like we don't pray right. We feel like when people talk about prayer, it's some type of rebuke and it's a correction, and y'all don't, and pastors get frustrated because people will come to a picnic, but they won't come to prayer. They'll come to a planning meeting, but they won't come to prayer. They'll come to protest, but they won't come to prayer. And I tell you, we have a blind spot in the church. Y'all know what a blind spot is? Is that you don't see something's coming, and if you move over into the next lane, it'll hit you or you will hit it, and it could cost somebody our life. You know what? We have blind spots because we don't spend enough time talking to God. Yes, there's a blind spot in the church. The Lord told me this morning, it's a blind spot. That's why people come, but they don't stay. That's why people come, they don't have their way, and they go. That's why people are up today and down tomorrow. That's why the enemy is taking control over our families and our communities, and even the center of our being is being attacked by the enemy, because we have a blind spot, because we still think coming to church is enough. Can I tell you, I'm glad you are here this morning, but if this is the only time you spend thinking about God, talking to God, praising to God, you have a blind spot in your life, and today is the day to get it fixed. Jesus said, always pray and don't give up. You know, I have to do a self-check from time to time. Every time I feel overwhelmed and frustrated, and I get to the point where I'm ready to pack my bags and load up my car and take a trip somewhere, I have to do a self-check and ask myself, Tim, how much time are you spending in the presence of God? Do you know you can work for God and not have a relationship with God? Do you know you can do godly things and not know God? Do you know you can talk about God and not talk to God? Do you know you can read about God and witness for God and not have a relationship with God? Don't be fooled because you're doing godly things. Check your blind spot. Are you spending time in the presence of God? You know what? I have to make sure, and I'm confessing in front of this congregation, that the only time I read the word, it can't be just to read the word preparing to preach and teach. Every day I need to read the word to eat. And do I have a church here? Sometimes we approach the work of the Lord as it is our career, and it's about performance, and it's about impressing people. Nobody cares about that. What Jesus is saying, you ought to pray. If you don't pray, you're going to give up. I want you to think about it. Look, research, talk to the people you know who are on the verge of giving up right now, and ask them, how much time do you pray? I know you post, but do you pray? I know you call and talk to people, but do you pray? Jesus said, always pray and never give up. Always pray. Do you know that you have a real enemy? And do you know that the only way your enemy can defeat you is to separate you from God? Nothing he does against us ever works when we're connected to God. What does the Bible say? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So his plan is to separate you from God. The way you stay connected to God is not through performance, it's through prayer. We think because we perform well that we're doing well spiritually. Performance is not the key. Prayer is the key. And so the adversary doesn't care how well we do here on Sunday morning. He just doesn't want us to talk to God during the week. So let's reveal his plan. This is why that if you don't pray, you'll easily give up, because you are separated from God. And so what the adversary's plan is to interrupt the time you spend in prayer. So when you plan to pray, that's when you think about all the things that you need to do that you haven't done. The moment you sit down, you think, I got to return that voicemail. I got to email that person. I got to pick up. You haven't thought. You watched 2 hours of television, didn't think about that thing not one time. Come on. But the moment you're ready to pray, all of a sudden, you're going through a list of things that you want to do. Do you know that's not by accident? How come you have energy to sit through a 3.5-hour movie in the dark, but you can't spend 15 minutes in prayer? You're sleepy, you're knocked out. Don't you know that is not an accident? Why do you think it is that the moment you decide to pray, that one call that you've been missing all week, is at that moment that you get on your knees, your phone rings, and it's that urgent call that you have to take? My brothers and my sisters, that is not an accident. The prince of the power of the air is trying to interrupt your connection with God, because it leaves you weak and feeble and unable to defend against the blind spots that are in our life. And I'm coming to tell you, you've got to fight to make prayer a priority. Yes, if I sound angry and frustrated, I am, and I'm representing the living God. He is frustrated because we have time to do everything but talk to him unless we need something. All right, let me move on. God is saying, come on. I'm not running a make-a-wish campaign. I am not your emergency backup system. I am the reason you live, you breathe, you move, and have your being. I will be everything to you or nothing to you, because I am faithful. When you are not faithful to me, I will be faithful to you. But one day you're going to look for me and I won't be there. The Bible says, call upon him while he is near. Seek him while he may be found. Why? Because there's coming a day where you will call and he will not hear. You will seek and you will not find. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Jesus tells his disciples, pray all the time. Satan knows if we stop talking to God, then we'll give up on the promise that he made us. He knows if we stop talking to God, we'll give up on what he's called us to do. Things happen and we'll give up. We'll give up our desire to see people saved. He wants to destroy our relationship with God. So Jesus is teaching his disciples to make prayer a priority. We don't pray out of duty or ritual. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer gets us into the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You get it? Pray, joy, strength. That's what we need. Pray, joy, strength. If you're weak, you need to pray. Because if you pray, you get into his presence. You get into his presence, you get joy. When you get joy, you get strength. The solution to your dilemma is prayer. Presence, joy, and strength. So Jesus makes his point by giving this parable about a judge and a widow. The judge represents the highest level of society. The widow represents the lowest level of society. The judge has authority over other people's lives. The widow has no authority over her own life. The judge makes decisions that other people have to live up to. The widow has to live up to what other people decides. The judge is self-sufficient and independent, but the widow is dependent upon others. This widow, it's talked about in this text, this parable, and she has a need and she has no one to defend her or protect her or to make sure she gets what she needs. She's not just a widow. She has no husband, but she also has no sons, because if she had sons, the sons would be taking care of her. Not only does she have no husband and no sons, her deceased husband had no brothers. Because if he had brothers, by law, they would have to take care of her. So here it is. This woman has no husband, no sons, and no in-laws that will take care of her. She is all by herself. She has no man to take care of her. And the only hope she has is that a man who has no obligation to help her at all would help her. Oh yeah, that's a bad situation to be in when you need help. And the help that you need, you cannot find. You need help and there's nobody obligated to help you. David said in Psalms 142, he said, I looked for someone to come and help me, but no one gives a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit about what happens to me. Don't raise your hand, but some of us have been in that situation where we feel like nobody cares to come and help us. Look at verse number 2. It says, there was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people or men. Notice this. The only person who would help this woman didn't fear God, and didn't care about people. Man, can I tell you that poor people experience this all the time? Go to agencies that exist to help you. Their purpose is to help you. And they have to deal with somebody who is mean, disrespectful, and treat them less than human. Where the reason you get paid is to help me. I am not an interruption of your day. I am the reason for your day. Thank you, Elder, for clapping on that. Huh? How is it that there are people in place to help people who cannot get help, but they don't care about the people who they are charged to help? And the people have no other choice than to go to get help. So this woman who has no help has to go and ask a man who doesn't fear God and doesn't care about people. She has to ask him for help. Verse 3 says, a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. Notice what she was asking for. She wasn't asking for a handout. She was asking for justice. She wasn't asking for a hookup. She was asking for justice. She wasn't trying to scam the system. She was asking for justice. She wasn't asking for special treatment. She was asking for fair treatment. Oh, somebody, we have got to change how we approach people who are asking for help. Everybody's not running a scam. Everybody is not looking for a hookup. Everybody is not trying to run the system. This woman was just asking for justice. She was not being treated fairly. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says she asked repeatedly. She asked over and over again. She didn't take no for answer. She didn't accept the first refusal or the second refusal. The Bible doesn't tell us how many times she asked. The Bible just says she asked him repeatedly. Verse 4, the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people. Can I tell you that some folks can only ignore you but for a while? Keep on knocking, keep on asking. I don't know, I think, and I love the young people, but I think young people give up too quickly. I'm trying to teach my girls, if you ask one time and you get a no, you ask again. I have one in particular where she'll start asking, and if she gets some resistance, she'll stop asking. No, I give you permission. If you have a need, then you should ask and ask and ask until you get your need met. We need some people who are not willing to take no for an answer, that we keep knocking and asking and seeking. And this woman didn't care about his relationship with God. She didn't care about his relationship with people. He was the only one that could help her, and she kept asking for help. Verse 5 said, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see to it that she gets justice, because she's wearing me out with her consistent request. Verse 6, then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Listen, Jesus is setting the expectation that God hears and responds to his people who cry out to him day and night. We used to sing a song a long time ago. We used to say, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. the Lord has promised, his word is true. Don't stop praying, he will answer you. It was a reminder for us to keep on praying. Keep on asking. The Lord is near. The Lord will hear your cry. Psalms 34:17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all of their troubles. Psalms 34:6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his trouble. In Hebrew, the word cry means call for help, shout for help. In the Greek, it means an urgent scream using inarticulate shouts that express deep emotions. Can I tell you here when he says God hears those of us who cry out to him day and night, he's not talking about whispering a little prayer in the morning or having a little talk with Jesus. No, he is talking about getting to that place where we cry out to God day and night. You know what? Some of us are not desperate enough. Some of us are not. Listen, when you are crying out to God, listen, you don't care what people think about you. You don't care how you look. You don't care who's looking at you. It's a personal thing where you are crying out to God. And some of us need to forget about who's looking at us and who is around us and get to the place where we just cry out to God, because the promise here is that he hears us when we cry. Now, let's be careful not to misinterpret this parable. This parable is not parallel to our lives in this sense. We are not the widow, and God is not the judge in this story. God is not the judge because this judge is unjust and doesn't care about people. We serve a just God, and he cares deeply about people. We are not the widow because we are not without help. We are not alone. We may find ourselves in desperate situations, but we are never desperate. In fact, the Bible says we are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Yeah, we are not sitting out here alone with no one to help us. No, this parable is to teach us a couple of things. The first thing is to do is to teach us how to handle delay. That even when we pray and we don't get an answer, we keep on praying until the answer comes. That we pray and don't give up. No matter what we go through, no matter what we face, no matter what we are dealing with, we are to be consistent in prayer and not giving up. Jesus is teaching us to pray. Never back down. Never give up. Then he reminds us that God will answer. He will give us justice. He will respond. See, the adversary wants us to think, and I'm almost through here, but the adversary wants us to think because it's been so long that God hasn't heard us, or that he's not going to respond, or that it's not going to happen. And I'm telling you today that the promise that God made to you is as good today as it was the first day he made it to you. Never give up. Never throw in the towel. The parable ends, and this is where I'll end today. The parable ends with Jesus asking a very important question. Verse 8, he says, I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. So he just confirms God is going to grant justice to his people. We need not worry how this thing turns out. God's got it all in control, and justice will come to us. But then he asks this question, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Here it is. Jesus switches the focus of this parable. The greater point in this parable is not to encourage us and remind us of the faithfulness of God. It's to warn us against the faithlessness of man. The question in this parable is not, is God faithful? The question is, are you faithful? Oh, yeah. The question is not, is God going to answer you? The question is, will you answer him? Oh, yes. Because it's a two-way street. You are seeking to receive from him, but he is also seeking to receive from you. One day, the only thing that will matter is, do you have faith? It won't matter what you're going through, what you've been through. It won't matter what church you go to. It won't matter how much money you have in your bank account. It won't matter where you live or what your position in life is. One day when the Son of Man returns, the question is, will he find faith in the earth? When he finds you, will he find you in faith? Because he's going to answer. You can go ahead and stand to your feet. We're done here. He's going to answer. But when he answers, will you have faith? Here's my final point today. This parable has been talked about and understood, rightfully so, about being consistent in prayer and being determined never to give up. But on the other side of the coin is the realization that Jesus is looking for faith in the earth. And when he comes, will he find us faithful? I don't know about you, but all I really want is for when that day comes, when he comes for me, he'll find faith. Can I tell you, God responds to faith. If we want God to move, the Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what he said. He said he rewards those that diligently seek him. Faith is our connection to God. And this parable here says, listen, don't ever question the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God is not on trial here. He always does what he says he's going to do. What's on trial is our faithfulness. Hallelujah. Because he said, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. If you call me, I'll answer. But what happens when I come? Will I find faith? Will I find people still expecting me, holding on to me? Listen, we're going to pray in a minute, but the one thing that I want for all of us here today is that from this day forward, we hold on to our faith. That when the Lord comes for us, whether that be right by rapture or the grave, that when he finds us, he'll find us holding on to him. Hallelujah. Listen, y'all remember what Jesus said to Peter on one occasion? He said, Peter, Satan's been talking about you. And he asked permission to have you. He asked God if he could have you. Because he wants to shift you, sift you like wheat. Can I tell you what the adversary wants to do? He wants to shake us up so much that we fall apart into 1,000 pieces. So if he doesn't get you in your marriage, he'll get you in your children. If he doesn't get you in your children, he'll get you in your job. If he doesn't get you in your job, he'll get you in the community. And when that doesn't work, he'll get you in the church. He'll just shake you back and forth this way and that way. Your world is turning upside down. You can't tell up from down and right from left. And guess what? He got permission to do it. But what did Jesus say? But Jesus said to Peter, but Peter, don't worry about it. I already prayed for you. That your faith fail not. Listen, Karen, Jesus didn't say, I didn't pray that he wouldn't shift you and shake you. I didn't pray that you wouldn't have troubles. I wouldn't pray that you didn't get confused trying to figure out what's going on. No, he said, I pray that after the shaking and after the twisting and after the turning, your faith is still standing. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, there's a hurricane going through the East Coast, but some of us came in here this morning with a personal hurricane. Hallelujah. But guess what? In the middle of that hurricane is an eye. They tell me that in the eye of the hurricane, there is peace. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that you can be in the storm, but not troubled by the storm? Oh, yes. Yes, God. I pray that when he finds you in the faith. I have no prediction for tomorrow. I can't make any promises to you. It may get worse before it gets better, but I can promise you this. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And if you hold on to him, he'll hold on to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus says, don't faint. Says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your faith is small. Listen, you've been through too much. Or I don't know who this was. You've been through too much to give up now. Can I take a survey? Raise your hand if you've ever gone through something and before you went through it, you said, God, I can handle anything but that. Okay, I'm not bombing them. Now let me take another survey. Raise your hand if the one thing you thought you couldn't handle, you handled it and God remained faithful and you're here today because God handled it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah to God. He said, don't faint in the day of adversity. He said, keep on praying. Pray when you're weak. Pray when you're broken. Pray when you're hurting. Pray when you're disappointed. Pray in the crowd. Pray by yourself. Pray quietly. Pray loudly. Pray. Post a prayer. Read a prayer. He says, always pray. Because why? That's the only way you're not going to faint. No more fainting spells in here. Hear what I'm saying? No more fainting spells. We're not picking you up off the floor anymore. Pray and you won't faint. Come on, we need a mature church. We don't have no babies in here. Hallelujah. We need to pray so that we don't faint. Hallelujah to God. Let us pray. Hallelujah to Jesus. I have to let you go. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice today. Those who have felt like the widow in this story, nobody would help. One loss after another, one relationship you thought would be there to help you, one after another. We've lost these relationships, jobs, connections, things we depended upon are no longer available to us. And we're seeking for help. And we've gone to help, and the people who can help us won't. and we feel helpless this morning, we turn to you today, oh God, and say that we are not like the widow in the story anymore. We have help. Hallelujah. You are a very present help in the time of trouble. And we will call out to you day and night, night and day, day and night, until we receive our request. We're not going to give up on your promise. We're not going to give up on our families. We're not going to give up on these important relationships. We're not going to give up on your purpose and your plan for us. We don't care what happens, God. We are determined that when you find us, you will find us faithful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you find us, you will find us faithful. I speak strength in this house today. In the name of Jesus. Strength in the name of Jesus. We enter into your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. Because in your presence is the fullness of joy. God, I pray for restoration of joy in this house today. In the name of Jesus, that we're taking off our mourning clothes, we're taking off our funeral clothes, and we're putting on the garment of praise this morning. We will celebrate your presence in our lives today. And through that, we will receive strength. It is so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank God for strength this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that it's already done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me share this word with you. I was in prayer this week, presenting some things before God. And every once in a while, I would hear a clear voice from him. And can I tell you, the good news is we serve a God who speaks. Hear what I'm saying? He speaks to us. He has ears, he can hear, and a mouth, he can talk. And if you talk to him, he'll talk back. The problem is, what we call praying is actually a lecture. We lecture God for 30 minutes, and then we leave the conversation. No, sit there and wait until you hear from him. Can I help you? We don't have no microwave prayers. If you want to hear from God, you got to take time and sit there. I pled my case before God, and I was ready to put some things on hold because I needed him to do some stuff. I wanted him to do some immediate things. You know what he told me? He said, it's temporary. Push through it. I don't know who that's for. But that thing you think is holding you up and slowing you down, God said, it's temporary. Push through it. Can I tell you? I'm here today because I'm pushing through it. Hallelujah to God. You hear me, Karen? You got to push through it. The devil is a liar. What God says is true. He's faithful and just. So next time a believer comes to you with a complaint, you tell him, my brother, my sister, I love you. Push through it. But next time they tell you, listen, I'm not going to do this because I got this pain in my body and I get this going on and the trouble on my job, push through it. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. You know what? Why is it that we have energy for everything else but the things of God? Okay. Why y'all get so quiet? Huh? We say yes to everything else. Tired in our bodies, broken in our spirit, we'll say yes. But when it comes to the things of God, I can't do that today. No, I need to rest. I need a Sabbath. Let me tell y'all something. God stands eager to perform the miraculous in our life. but he doesn't do it to people who are not expecting and are not faithful.